Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And welcome to Poke the Bear episode 213, presented by our friends over at Prize Picks. Go use that promo code CLNS to get up to $100 back on up to $100 of a deposit. Can't think of a better deal than that. I mean, that is $100 for $100, $25 for $25, $50 for $50. I mean, that is woo, good
woo.
Go over Prize Picks. It's great daily fantasy stuff. So go over there. I hope you guys did it for Tuesday night's game. You took more goals for David Pastrnak because boy was scoring lots of goals. Three goals, gets the hat trick. How about that? What was that thing that they threw on the ice? What's that officially called? I saw you tweet about it. I forget what.
I mean, I think probably the official way to describe it is a bear suit. Some people called it a bear pelt. I mean, a knockoff one. Like, I'm not saying it was an authentic bear paw. You're not taking that off the wall at Bugaboo Creek or anything, but that had some like quality to it. That was a pretty nice suit that gets thrown on the ice, but makes it memorable. If you have that situation where, you're able to throw something, you're not going to throw just like a regular beanie. Like if you got a bear suit on, you got to commit to it. And it worked out well. Oh. The fan who threw it on the ice, I think got a stick from Pastrnak after the game. So it all works out.
Yeah, I would say it'd be awkward if they threw that whole bear suit and then Pastrnak chose a different hat and then they just kind of swiped up the bear suit. And
someone throws like a nice white crisp Stetson on the ice and he's like, I've been wanting one of those.
Or you like Fred Astaire and have it like dropped on
your rolling arm. Down. Yeah, someone just watched an entire marathon of Yellowstone and bought a nice Stetson right for the game and threw it on the ice for that. So.
Yeah, that would be that'd be interesting. But anyways, that's Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinofsky. Connor, what is up?
Evan, I'm doing well. How you doing?
Doing great. Doing great. I couldn't not intro us. People would be like, man, they didn't say things were great. Evan didn't ask what is up. The world's going to fall off its axis if that doesn't happen. So I wanted to make sure that we got that in there. David Pastrnak, though, obviously I mentioned the hat trick against the Senators, 6-2. Did I see TSN mention Chris Kelly as a potential Senators coaching candidate next season?
Yes, I actually did see that. And I mean, it would make sense, right? Like, there's a guy who's got ties to Ottawa, is an up-and-coming coach, has a good track record in Boston. That would be a guy that if you're the Senators and you're looking to try to add maybe some stability to this team as a whole, Chris Kelly does make a whole lot of sense. So that is definitely something worth keeping tabs on. You'll get just, whether it's him, Sacco, who's been in for a while, but was a former head coach and, has a pretty strong track record as well. Like the Bruins, and you look at just their strengths, having an entire roster of talent across the coaching staff here. Sooner or later, it's going to come due. I feel like we've seen that with the Patriots for years, right, where they had such a stacked coaching staff. Sooner or later, someone's going to poach them. So that is definitely, I think, something to keep tabs on with a guy like Kelly.
Hopefully the Bruins have more success. Hopefully those coaches have a little more success than Pat's coaches did when they left the Patriots. But, I mean, Kelly's a good candidate. Young, played the right way, like the exact kind of player that becomes a coach. It's worked out well here. So again, I wouldn't be shocked if he's a name that gets tossed around a ton, when the season ends and the coaching jobs open up, so that wouldn't shock me at all. And this is unrelated. This is a question with Pastrnak, back to Pastrnak, that we've asked throughout the season. And it's, you know, is David Pastrnak a legitimate Hart Trophy candidate? Should he be one of the three that gets the most looks at the end of the year? And a lot of people looking at Kucherov or Nathan MacKinnon, and those guys have been lights out. You know, McDavid's over 100 points because, of course, Artemi Panarin's been outstanding. But I just, you know, yes, it's hard to pick against a guy like Nathan MacKinnon, who, you know, they don't have Gabriel Landeskog, and he's still just, you know, putting up a ton of points. And, you know, Kucherov's kind of doing something similar down in Tampa. But I just keep looking at the situation Pastrnak's in. And, you know, you lose, you know, your center. You lose Bergeron and Krejci. And you're at 99 points. Like, to me, fourth in the NHL, Bruins are the best team in hockey right now, which is crazy to say, but they are. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think Pastrnak's going to be right in the thick of it in terms of that conversation, right? And it all comes back to, I think, the player's overall importance to this team and where this team would be without said player. And I think there's a lot of guys who make very compelling arguments. Like, I'd probably say the front runner right now. And I mean, you could also, every year we could have this discussion and mention, like, Connor McDavid of, like, how dog crap that team would be if he wasn't there. But I think in this situation, we had a few other guys step up. Like, I'd probably put MacKinnon at the top right now, just because
I was going to say he'd be my number one.
Yeah, he's just been on such an absurd tear. As you said, Landeskog's been out the whole year. Kale Makar's dealing with an injury. And I mean, he's still 80%. Kale Makar is still one of the best defensemen in the league, but he still has had some, you know, maybe lapses, or maybe he's just not playing to his regular expectations as to what we've seen from Kale Makar. So a lot more has been put on MacKinnon's shoulders, and he's delivered. But you can make the same argument with, like, the Bruins, especially early on in this year when they had so many different moving parts, so much roster upheaval there, that if David Pastrnak wasn't kind of your offensive cheat code, keeping you ahead of games, giving you leads, there'd be a whole lot of, you know, 1-0 games, 1-1 games the Bruins would be trudging through. Like, you look at just how many one-goal games the Bruins have been in. What happens if you don't have a 100-point, 40-goal scorer in David Pastrnak kind of being the game-breaker there for you in so many critical situations? And, yes, you can look at, you know, the shootout attempts, or the D-zone play has left a lot to be desired at times, the turnovers. But that's something you take with a guy like Pastrnak who won't, you know, fall down that rabbit hole. That's something you take with a guy that offensively talented, that, you know, that impactful for your team. And I think, again, it's a testament to Pastrnak, right, that, as you said, doesn't have Bergeron, doesn't have Krejci, doesn't have a lot of guys out there. To see him kind of change his game a little bit, right, and become more of a playmaker this year. He's already surpassed his career high in assists in a season. And, you know, he knows that defenses are game planning around him. They're trying to take away that one-timer shot. See him kind of adjust on the fly and still find ways to generate offense and make so many guys around him better, whether that's Zacha, Danton Heinen, so many players that have been kind of a rotating cast on this roster. He has to be, I think, absolutely in the mix. Like, is he the front runner? No, but when you look at last year, where I think he finished top three as a guy on a much stronger team, he deserves to be in that conversation, I think, for sure.
Oh, God. And I mean, you think about it, usually you see centers make guys around them better, playing down the middle, having the puck the most, all those things. He has center numbers, and he has a center-like impact on his line. It's been that way all year, whether it be scoring, little plays, assists. I mean, just how good of a passer he's become. And that's been years in the making, but still, I mean, this year, there have been some passes he's made. There have been some plays he's set up where I'm like, wow. Even with David Pastrnak, that shocked me. So, I believe he's in the mix. I think he has to be. I just think, you know, Bruins are the best team in hockey. He's clearly the best player they have. He's been above and beyond what we even expected from him this season, I think. And, you know, in terms of that stuff, he's at least top three. Again, MacKinnon's my number one guy. But after that, I think it's very debatable. And I think Pastrnak is either, you know, probably in that three spot, because Kucherov's putting up some crazy numbers. Kucherov's been ridiculous. Like, that's hard to just, you know, miss. But they've had their issues. But I just think what Pastrnak's been able to do, given the circumstances of who they lost last year, it's hard to say that he's not a Hart Trophy candidate when he's been that good. And I just think whether or not he wins the heart, which I don't think he will, but, you know, just being in the mix, I just think his ascendance as a player this year, like, you know, there were questions. I mean, I remember, you know, 2 years ago, obviously he had a lot of stuff he was dealing with off the ice. But, you know, he didn't have his greatest season. Then last year he was outstanding. And then this year it's like, all right, well, he was great last year, but now you don't have Bergeron. You don't have Krejci. You know, you don't have guys like Bertuzzi and Orlov, and the team is worse, and he's been even better. And I just, to me, I think he has been worth every penny of that money. And I'm really curious to see what his playoff performance is like this year. I hate the narrative of Pastrnak is not a playoff player. And it's like, would you look at his stats? Would you please look at his playoff stats? I believe he's well over being a point per game player in the playoffs.
Yeah.
I don't have them right in front of me, but it's stuff like that always, I'm like, or like when we've done this before, like, well, shootout move, there was a lot of effort in it. Or, oh, overtime, there was a lot of effort in his breakaway. And it's like, he keeps it simple. It's, you know, I don't know, like, that's just his game.
Yeah.
Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. So I see him as a legitimate Hart Trophy candidate, especially, you know, again, 3 goals against the Senators. That's another day at the office for one David Pastrnak. As I said, you guys would have been smart to go to Prize Picks for this, but don't miss out on it. And so here's a quick word from our friends over at Prize Picks.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is just heating up. Whether it's tournament season or the fight for playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Prize Picks is the best way to get action on sports in more than 30 states across the country, including California, Texas, and Georgia. Want to play alongside some of Prize Picks' favorite players like Meek Mill and Sugar Sean O'Malley? You can now find community plays under the promos tab of the app to view entries from some of the biggest names in the Prize Picks community each week. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play. I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Quick withdrawals, easy gameplay, and a huge selection of players and stat types are what makes Prize Picks the number one daily fantasy sports app. And with the Bruins season in full swing, there are plenty of ways to participate in Prize Picks. This week, I'm selecting David Pastrnak for more than 3 goals and Charlie McAvoy for more than 4 assists. So download the Prize Picks app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Again, use code CLNS for a first deposit match of up to $100. Prize Picks. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
Kevin Shattenkirk, by the way, had 3 assists on Tuesday night. I was kind of surprised by that, but good for him. Someone else who had quite the game. Justin Brazeau, 2 goals. This guy keeps killing it. It's always around the net for him. He's so good at just getting in there and just digging, you know, head down, nose to the grindstone, getting dirty in the dirty areas. I mean, he's a hockey coach's dream. 2 goals last night. He's continued, you know, every game I feel like for him on the fourth line's been good. Could he be fighting for potential third line minutes?
I mean, yeah, I think he's probably in that mix, right? You look at, and on the game on Tuesday, Van Riemsdyk gets scratched. He's been dealing with, you know, like an extended illness that I think has probably played into his extended kind of slump here. And he's also a guy that's had a lot of mileage. You hit the point where maybe you want to give him a little bit of a rest before the playoffs. But yeah, Brazeau, I think you look at his skill set and like, he fits on either one of those lines in terms of what I think they're trying to build, right? Like that fourth line, we've mentioned it before, can really be interchangeable if they have a whole, you know, assortment of players out there, right? Like you can go speed with guys like Boqvist and Beecher and Lauko. If, you know, Pat Maroon's back and you want to add some more, you know, heft to that line, you can do Maroon, Beecher, and Brazeau there. But you look at where, you know, Brazeau has been so effective, and, you know, a lot of it's been net front power play, obviously, but even like in a few of these games, when you have a guy who's 6'5", and again, what we've been told is that he's not really the most physical player for his size, but when you're 6'5", 215 pounds, if you're holding onto the puck down low, pretty hard to knock you off the puck. So like if he's a guy that maybe fits in on that third line and all of a sudden you've got you know, Frederick, Geeky, and Brazo, and you're just trying to do like a straightforward meat and potatoes puck possession line, pretty hard to knock quite a few of those guys off the puck. And he kind of adds that extra element there in terms of what he brings, as opposed to maybe someone like Heinen, who's playing, I think, a lot better in an elevated role with Pastrnak and Zacha. So, you know, Jim Montgomery was really, really pleased with Brazo's game, not just on Tuesday, but pretty much his whole stay up in Boston so far. He said, you know, out of, I think, the 13 games Brazo has played, only one game stood out to him where he left thinking that he needed to show a little bit more. So if you're a rookie who, again, was kind of under the radar, we weren't really putting him on our watch list out of camp or anything like that, to get kind of called up, and it was a bit of a surprise when it happened, and to really earn his spot here and not really, you know, find himself, you know, getting knocked in and out of the lineup, getting called up by Montgomery of wanting a little bit more. Like, again, Brazo's not reinventing the wheel. He's not doing anything maybe unexpected for what he projects as a player in the NHL, but what his skill set is something I think can be used on either one of those bottom six lines.
It is. And, you know, you even look at like a potential third line of Frederick, Geeky, and Brazo. I like what that brings. You put Frederick back on the left side, so he's on his strong side. And I just think, you know, in terms of digging with the puck down low, cycling, like getting chances from behind the net, which is kind of their bread and butter, I think that adds an element. I think, you know, we talked about this on Bruins Beat earlier this week of when Maroon comes back, what do you do with that fourth line? And we kind of, you know, put Brazo in a box on the fourth line of, like, we didn't really think about him in the third line role, but it's an interesting point you make of, well, what if Brazo moves up? Like, what, you know, the way he's been playing and what he's been bringing, why wouldn't you just move him to the third line and try it? And I agree, like, now that I hear it, I want Montgomery to try that in these next couple of games and to see what you can have with that, because I think it presents a lot of different opportunities. And I think it goes to show you, it adds size, which I think is, you know, a good thing to have there. And he has pretty good hands for a big guy. And as you mentioned, like, he might not be the most physical guy, but hard to knock a guy who's 6'5" off the puck. And if it is, then he's not going to be in the NHL. So Brazo has been a really nice surprise throughout the year. I want to dive into goaltending, and I want to dive into the seventh player award. But before we do that, quick word from our friends over at Factor Meals.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
So Linus Ullmark got another win on Tuesday night, beating the Senators. I know they're still, you know, they're Ottawa. It's not, you know, they have some pretty good young guns, though. I mean, that team, like, in the next couple of years should be good. I think we've been saying that for about them and the Red Wings and the Sabres, like, for the last, what, 3 years? We've been like, they're going to next year, or, like, you know, the next couple of years, they're going to be really good. So we've been kind of
like a decade.
It feels like it's been forever. It's crazy to think that Senators team that went to the Eastern Conference Final in 2017 kind of just fell apart. Like, they just traded off, like, every single piece, and that was that.
A whole lot of good players. And again, also, I think harkens back to, was it, you know, even just a year ago or 2 years ago, people were like, Bruins, blow it up, complete rebuild. Stay in the picture. Like, again, stay in the mix when you've got guys like Pastrnak and McAvoy and the goalies and all this. Keep on retooling on the fly. Keep on building around kind of your base of star talent and stay in the mix. Because one, it's hockey. Anything can happen. And listen, these are a couple of teams that I think ideally, you know, like, are motivated to get back into the picture. Like, the Red Wings are a prestige franchise, and they've been scratching and clawing to get back. Look at, like, the Flyers, a proud franchise that's working on that. And they've got, like, Cutter Gauthier and all this other stuff you got to deal with along the way. Like, it's so tough to get back into a spot where, like, everything has to go your way. You've got a young base of talent to look to the future towards. So, Bruins fans, don't hope for a rebuild anytime soon. Like, keep on retooling, keep on staying in the mix, because all these teams, we're still waiting to see them break through, and it hasn't been the case yet.
Well, that's the thing. And you even look at, like, Buffalo. Like, Buffalo's this team that has a very proud fan base, and they're on Original Six, but they're still, the Sabres are usually the number one thing up there. And for the last, what, almost 15 years, What's the playoff drought at now? Last time was what, like 2010, I think, when they 2010? Lost to the Bruins, Miro the Hero. Miroslav Shatan like ended the Buffalo Sabres as we know it, along with Milan Lucic running over Ryan Miller. But we have over the last couple of years, especially after last season, blow it up. Coyle and Zaka aren't good enough. And you and I, credit to us, kept saying you have the core. You've got guys like Pastrnak and McAvoy and Swayman and Ullmark and Carlo, and you've got guys there, Lindholm. There's no reason to blow it up. You've got elite young talent, and you have a good culture. So just build around it. And they have done that. They did that this year on a low budget. Credit to them. Now, when they lose in the second round, we will rip them. But I mean, until then, you know, we gotta be, we're being honest, which is what we always aim to do. Speaking of in net, so Linus Ullmark beats the Senators on Tuesday night. Bruins play the Rangers on Thursday in a pretty big game. Do you think Ullmark should get the nod again?
I think if there was a time to do it, to deviate and see how you can, you know, have some flexibility with that goalie rotation, feels like a perfect opportunity to do so, right? I mean, Ullmark's, you know, won three straight games since the trade deadline and all that stuff's been put past them. He's sporting a 956 save percentage over that stretch. Swayman has, you know, I think what, like a 902 save percentage since the All-Star break. So he has taken a little bit of a step back here. So, and again, this is what we talked about on Poke the Bear, right? Like, or on Bruins Beat, looking at this goalie rotation. It's not something where it has to be strict, like one start, 50-50 reps. Like you can at the ideal times roll with a guy for two straight games. You know, if that allows you to keep the hot hand in net and get that, I don't know, anxiety, that internal competition brewing with the other goalie who's like, all right, my game's kind of hit a low right here. I gotta get my stuff together here before, you know, I lose even more reps. Like, you know, it's not like it has to be one extreme or the other. It has to be 50-50 reps, or Ullmark has two good games in a row. He's going eight straight games now. Like, it's almost like when you have this unorthodox weird rotation and you have the luxury of two number one goalies, you can, you know, augment it however you want to best put your team in a position to win. So you look at this Rangers team that's right up there with the Bruins in the standings, very dangerous team. If Ullmark's playing at a high level right now, see how he does in a situation where he's get back-to-back stats, see how he performs, see how Swayman responds from that. Like, it, when you got, so, you know, what is it, 13, 12 regular season games left, there's only so much time you can really see how you can kind of handle these goalies where you get right to the playoffs. And then the margin for error and the second guessing is only going to get higher from there. So it does seem like right now is a perfect time to do it.
It is. I mean, again, like, this isn't the playoffs. This is when you try these things. Ullmark clearly has been the better goalie for the last, you know, week or so. So yeah, I'm fine with it. Cause it also, like you mentioned, it could motivate Swayman too. Like, all right, balance is starting to shift. I got to up my game. I've got to be a little bit better. You know, Swayman for most of the year has kind of been the presumptive game one starter. Now, I don't know if that's the case. I mean, I look, I want to see Swayman get his chance in the playoffs before game seven of the first round. But I still, like, if Ullmark is going to be this hot, like, you got to go with the hot guy at least to start. We'll see about that. The seventh player award. This is always a fun one. As the Bruins seventh player award is rapidly approaching. I went on and looked Nesson.com at kind of the guys you can vote for. Parker Wotherspoon has worked his way in. Charlie Coyle's in the mix for it as well, which is like debatable considering he's like a top line center, but whatever, you know, they make the rules. We don't, you know, we bow to authority. You know how it is.
Yes.
Right now, who is your seventh player award winner?
I mean, it's a testament to, I think, this Bruins team that you got a lot of pretty convincing candidates in terms of, you know, low value signings that have worked out well. Like, even, yeah, like, I don't know if Coyle will win it, but there's plenty of credit for being a guy on pace for career highs and stepping up and making that vacancy, you know, left by Bergeron. Again, he's not going to be Bergeron, but you look at the production, how he's driven play.
He's going to be better. He's going to be better than Patrice Bergeron. Yes,
exactly.
We'll clip it.
But you know, he deserves plenty of credit for that, for stepping into that spot. But if I had to go right now, I'm going to go with Danton Heinen, just in terms of, this is a guy that is making, you know, league minimum, you know, was kind of viewed as, you know, a guy on way on the outside looking in. The Bruins signed Alex Chiasson to a PTO deal before Heinen even.
That's right. I always forget about Chiasson.
Yeah, like they had, you know, Heinen, you know, impresses during the preseason, still has to wait like 2 weeks before he actually can sign that contract, and then comes in and is on pace, you know, on pace for, you know, 17 goals, surpassing 30 points. And it's kind of fit in very well, kind of wherever they put him. Like, we already know from the first stint here where, you know, Heinen can be a really versatile player for this team, but even especially as of the last couple of weeks with Pastrnak and Zacha. And if you probably told people that we're looking for a rebuild before the year starts, I'm like, no, they're going to put in Dannon Heinen with Pastrnak and Zacha. People be like, holy shit.
We're not watching this season.
And again, he's kind of fit in well wherever it is, especially when you factor in that price tag. So, you know, I look, there's other, you know, very deserving candidates like, you know, Geeky's been really good. He's a guy right in the mix. JVR's been really solid for most of this year, especially only making $1 million. But I don't know. Like, I feel like JVR is a guy that's produced before. You look at Geeky, that's a guy that you looked at his reps and how he's used in Seattle. He's a guy where you're like, all right, this guy just averages another 3-4 minutes of ice time per game here with the Bruins. Like, the production should uptick as well. Heinen, who like couldn't land a deal for anyone, you know, this past offseason, to come here on that deal and really produce and fill out a role wherever need be. I think he's right now my running favorite for a seventh player.
He probably is the favorite, given the circumstance you mentioned of like, he kind of was like the kid on JV hoping to get the call up to varsity, for a while. I want to go off the board.
Ooh.
I want to say Brandon Carlo. You know, just because Geeky's another one. Geeky would be my runner up, kind of along with Heinen, similar kind of, you know, I think Heinen's been a bit more just given the circumstances, but Geeky's been there as well. But Brandon Carlo, how good of a shutdown defenseman he's been this year. There's been some instability on the back end. There's been injuries. He's had his own injuries in the past. There were a lot of questions about Brandon Carlo, you know, coming into the last couple of years with his concussions, and his play had sort of, you know, not gone where they wanted it to go. He'd struggled a bit. I just look at how good of a shutdown guy he's been this year. Again, the points are not anything to write home about, but just his stick and how well he is at defending his own blue line and preventing offensive zone entries for the other team, and just how good of a shutdown guy he is. I know they've struggled at times to preserve leads. That's not completely his fault. To me, Carl, just how good of a defenseman he's been, how stable he's been. I'd want to give it to Carlo. Now, I know he makes a lot of money, and I know that he's kind of a pillar of this team, especially with this core. But I don't know. I like shutdown defensemen. So I kind of err on that side, but I can't disagree with Heinen. I can't disagree with Geeky. Ben Riemsdyk's cooled off a bit in the last month or so. So I think that might kind of hurt, you know, what have you done for me lately type thing. In terms of other people, you know, like Wotherspoon's fit in well, but I don't think he's going to win. Frederick's another guy who's an interesting one. You know, Coyle has a lot of points. So like, do fans pick him because he has all those points? I don't know, you know, but I think Heinen or Carlo or Geeky to me are kind of the three that, define at the most. Probably Heinen and Geeky like define the true seventh player. But if Carlo's up for it, I have a tough time not picking him.
Yeah.
So it should be interesting. It should be fun, as it always is. Zacha won it last year.
He did.
And so Zacha,
I will say Bruins fans have, I think, got a lot better with seven player award voting. I remember it used to always just be like the guy who all of a sudden breaks like the 50 point barrier is like, nah, it's that guy. Or it's like, you know, it was like McAvoy, who like was early on not a seven player. Like Pastrnak has won it. You had like what? Chris Wagner won it 1 year. I think Coyle won it his first full season with the Bruins. They're doing a better job at finding these guys that are, you know, maybe not the headliners, but have done plenty to, you know, become fan favorites, make an impact, and do maybe some of the little things that help this team win. So hopefully people, whether it's, you know, Heinen or someone else, recognizes those players that have taken a big step forward and really helped out this team this year.
They're listening to us. That's what it is. It's our ideologies have been placed into our listeners and the fans, which is great. Anyways, Connor, what can the people look forward to from you over at the Globe and Boston.com?
Yeah, we're going to have you covered every step of the way from now until the end of the year. We're gearing up for the playoffs, as all of you guys are. So we're looking at, you know, whether it's lineup decisions, breakdowns of potential first-round matchups, the goalie rotation, all that stuff. We'll break it all down over Boston.com and the Globe. And if you want to follow me on Twitter, you can at ConnorRyan_93.
Go do all that. I'm sure all the discussion around the goalie rotation will be completely rational, which will be fun.
Of course, as it always is.
Of course. Anyways, that's Connor Ryan. I'm Evan Marinovsky. We're presented by Prize Picks. You poke the bear, listeners. Have a great rest of your week.